Well, good morning, church, and welcome back to our next online sermon. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So let's remember that as we gather today, and wherever you are today, this day has been given to us by God. So let us look to the Lord. We're going to turn to His Word, but before we do that, let's open with the word of prayer. And just a few prayer items just to share with you this morning. Please remember and keep in your prayers Dean Sommerfeld, as he had, over the past few days, he had to go to the Peterborough Hospital as a result of a heart attack. He had a stent put in and now is awaiting bypass surgery. So please remember Dean and Sue in your prayers and just pray for his strength, that through this, that his life will even be a witness to those around him as he trusts in the Lord and knows that God is certainly caring for him in this time. Please also continue to pray for Brett Roberge as he recovers from back surgery at home, and also for Pam Funston's brother-in-law, Grant, who is recovering at home as well from heart surgery. And let us also continue to pray for those families in our church, in our community, that are just grieving and mourning the loss of a loved one, especially keeping your prayers the Kerr family and the Jeffs family as they mourn the loss of Taylor's passing. It's so important that in life we turn to the Lord in prayer for all that's going on in our homes and in our own personal lives. But God calls us to seek Him in prayer and to turn to Him in our times of trouble. So let's do that before we open God's Word. Please join me as we pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You again today, Lord, for the gift of life, for every breath that we can take. Thank You, Lord, for family and for friends, those that You have put in our lives that every day are a source of encouragement and love, those that look after us and those that we can grieve with and also laugh with. Lord, we pray for those that are recovering from surgery. God, we just pray for just a real full restoration to their bodies. We just pray that You would give strength to the healing process that they're in right now, that, Lord, that they would be comfortable at home where they heal. So, Lord, we lift up Brett to You, and we lift up Grant. We lift up Dean as well, and pray, God, that by the power of Your mighty Spirit, that You would come over them, that You would from heaven just pour out over them just a fresh outpouring of Your healing power, that they would know as well, God, in their own hearts, that You are near to them. We pray that You would take away any fear or worry or anxiety. We pray that they would find strength and peace in the name of Jesus, and that as they heal, as they recover at home, Lord, that they would also turn to You, turn to Your Word, and find comfort in Your promises. We also just pray for the Jeff family and the Kerr family, Lord. We pray that You would just be near to them as well as they grieve and as they mourn. Lord, as they celebrate Taylor's life, God. But Lord, we know that this is a very difficult time. And we just pray that in this time of trouble, Lord, that they would look to You. That, Lord, You would just continue to be their great shepherd, comforting them, leading them, and just filling their hearts with Your hope and with Your peace and with Your love. We thank You for Your Word, and as we open it now, Lord, we just pray that You would help us to understand again Your teaching, that we may apply it to our lives and grow closer to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, here we are, folks, at the end of James's letter. James's letter to the early Jewish Christians. And God spoke through James to give Christians practical instructions on how to follow Jesus. This letter, all five chapters, instructs believers on how to live on earth while we wait for the return of Jesus Christ. Does anyone need encouragement and directions in life? Well, we all do, don't we? And James has been telling us all along how to live the faith. It's been a practical how to live for Jesus book. Now, this morning's passage perfectly captures the heart of James. His main concern all throughout this letter for believers, that we really live the faith, the Christian faith, as sold out, committed, genuine followers of Jesus Christ. And in today's passage, most specifically, looking out for one another. Let's see what James has to say. So please turn in your Bibles to James chapter 5, verse 19 to 20. Let us hear the word of the Lord. In these two verses, we're going to hear James give final instruction to the church. James chapter 5, verse 19 to 20. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So in these last two verses, James gives here, it's really his final heartfelt plea to his brothers and sisters in the Lord to look out for one another. He wants to leave them with this final word. And you know, it's not your typical farewell to a letter. He just simply ends the book of James. But he ends with important instruction for the church. These final two verses of James, they praise the value of rescuing wanderers from God's ways to return to his ways. Instead of criticizing people or for their weakness and or judging people for their sins, James is calling on the church to work to encourage them from their wrong ways to the right one, in love, in gentleness, with compassion. You know, years ago, I'll never forget being part of a Sunday school picnic when we lived up in Thornbury. And Thornbury, of course, just is situated right along the Georgian Bay. And so we were at a park. And there was a beach at the park right near the water. And there was a buoy line for kids to know not to go past it because the water gets pretty deep. Well, I'll never forget as a kid during that Sunday school picnic, a commotion coming from the water. And what had happened was two kids had gone past the buoy line. They had gone into water too deep for them, and they had gotten tired. And so they were jumping up and down. And, you know, at first, I had no idea what was going on. But all around me, the adults did. And all of them, men and women, just got up. I just remember them getting up quickly and running towards the water with their clothes on, no bathing suits on, with some of them had their shoes still on, but they ran out into the water to rescue these two kids that had gone farther than they should have. And those kids, they were saved. And these adults, they did something about it. And I'll never forget that. Just that commotion and understanding what had taken place afterwards. And certainly some very sad kids, but also some very upset parents as well and adults. But praise God, there was no tragedy that day. But it will always sit in my mind, and I'll never forget that. And in today's passage, James is teaching us about the importance of looking out for one another, rescuing those that have strayed from the truth. And so James is encouraging us to do that in this passage. And there are two declarations that stand out in this passage for believers today. One declaration, which may happen to some of us, and one which all of us as believers in Jesus Christ should do. First of all, in verse 19, the first declaration is this: some of us may wander from the truth. Some of us may become strays. Verse 19 indicates that James is talking about believers. If you look at how he begins, he says, "My brothers," or brethren. And here's just an indication from James that he is referring to those in the church. There is no doubt James believes that some of us can stray from the truth and that some already had. And this is the person who has professed faith in Christ, but at some point renounced or turned from it. Or one who is not living a godly lifestyle at all, but has chosen to live a lifestyle of sin. You know, once they had perhaps Christ as Lord, but now they have fallen away from the fellowship of the church, and perhaps they are seeking and engaging in a sinful lifestyle. You know, James is not talking about losing your salvation in this passage. Nowhere does the Bible teach that as a doctrine. Either you are a backslidden Christian, as in, you know, you've turned from your faith, or you never had faith, genuine faith to begin with. The faith that they had was either not genuine, again, or the circumstances of life caused them to stray from Jesus as Lord. Other parts in the New Testament remind us as well, and we see words even in from Paul's letters to believers that have fallen away from living for Jesus. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, Paul says, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted." And last week we looked at James 5, verse 16, where James says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." So we know that in Scripture that as believers we will still struggle and stray, but that we are called to help each other along in this journey of living for Jesus each and every day until He returns. But there's an urgency in why this is so important to do. And the urgency of this is that if a Christian, if a brother or sister in the Lord has a bitter attitude or a bad attitude or is in sin, they give a false witness of the Christian church. And they need to be restored. And they need to be confronted. And they need someone to gently come alongside them and point out that their lifestyle no longer lines up with Scripture. And there needs to be repentance and restoration. So how do we wander from the truth? How does it happen? Well, some may grow weary from life circumstances. And when that happens, we begin to doubt and question our faith and what's real and what's going on because of what is happening in our own life. You know, others wander from the truth because they have been seduced by the world. And for those who wander from the truth, their lives no longer resemble a follower of Jesus at all. They have gone completely off the path of living for Jesus. They have gone past the boy line into the deep end, straying from where they should be. When we stray from the truth, when we stray from the saving truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's when we stray in other things as well. That's when we lose judgment and we start making choices morally that do not please the Lord, and they are not a good Christian witness as well to the world around us. When other things become a priority, it is because something has gotten mixed up for us foundationally. James is reminding the church in this passage and us to help each other cling to the truth. And the warning is clear here as well. Don't wander from the truth. Don't become astray. Stay on the path, the right path. And the right path is the foundation of God's word. The right path is Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, and walking in the Spirit daily under His control, under His influence in all that you are. We must remember that it is possible for us to stray from the truth. You know, that's clear, not just in James, but from what Paul said too. It is possible for us to stray from the truth. So we must be on guard. We must be careful not to do so. So it is essential that believers keep in their life what keeps Christ on their mind. Now, in last Sunday's passage, James instructed us to do three things. Pray. Praise God in song. But then also confess to one another when we have sinned. Today, he is reminding the church and us that we need, again, to help each other cling to the truth. And we can see this practically lived out in accountability groups, small groups, where believers can share life and be honest about their struggles. And they can seek out that support. But it also becomes a place where we can call each other out and ask each other, why are we making certain decisions that don't honor the Lord? You know, James writes to call professed believers to examine their faith and to make sure it is real. He was deeply concerned that no one be deceived about his salvation. As born-again believers, we must be intentional to live for the glory of God. And so the first declaration in verse 19 is this: some of us may stray from the truth. The second declaration is this: all of us must bring people to the truth. Let me read it to you again. Verse 20. Remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. You see, here we have this reminder, the reality of what the church is supposed to be. The church is a community of believers, a community of interconnecting people who are in Christ. It is not to be individualistic or selfish. We are, as a church, called to encourage and mutually care for one another. Our emotional lives, our physical lives, our mental lives, but also our spiritual lives. Now again, let me ask you, when someone is drowning at the beach, you don't want to see, I wonder, how would you respond? Would you look around to see if anybody else is doing something about it? Would you turn your back and not help those people? You don't see people watch and wave at them, do you, if this is happening? What you usually see are people getting up and rushing to help, whether that's complete strangers or lifeguards, rushing to the water to save them. What would you do? If a Christian is in sin, then it is the call of the church, other brothers, sisters in the Lord, to help them be restored, not to turn the other way or judge them from afar. Real ministry is in the care of individuals over all else. We can support and help each other through the teaching of God's word, which is imperative. But then also there's that place for discipleship programs and small groups, prayer groups, accountability partners. If someone turns back the person that is straying from the truth, James wants you to know something. You will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. And the idea here is by bringing the person back to repentance, their sins are forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. Again, and if their faith wasn't genuine, they would be reconciled before God and saved. But this is, most importantly, the work of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is the only one who saves souls and covers a multitude of sins. God's desire, however, is that for all people to come to a knowledge of the truth of Christ. And God wants all men to be saved and brought into a relationship with Him. And the point James is saying is here is that as believers, God wants to use you to be part of that mission. We must all be on mission to rescue people who have strayed from the truth. God certainly does the saving, but you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, can be God's instruments in someone's life. If you knew someone needed rescuing, would you turn the other way? If you knew another believer had wandered from the truth and were now living in sin, would you approach them? Would you ask them about what's going on in your life? Would you, in love, gently point out that their lifestyle or their attitude was not in line with Scripture? The overarching message of the book of James is this. It's telling us as believers to personally pursue a closer relationship with Jesus Christ and to bring others closer to Jesus along the way. God wants to use us to bring people to the truth. That's what James, and this is how James is ending his letter. You, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ today, you are on God's search and rescue team. Just think about that today from this passage. You are on God's search and rescue team. And here are some specific instructions when it comes to bringing back a believer who has strayed. First of all, you might wonder, who should go? Who should be the one to go and rescue? Well, if you have knowledge, if you are aware of sin, of the sin in that person's life, and you have a relationship with that person, you are it. Truth is most often received through loving relationships. So if you know that person and you are aware of the sin that's going on in that person's life, you're it. You go to that person. You talk to them about what's going on in their lives. Second of all, get the facts. Get the facts. Don't go on gossip. Ask questions to determine the truth. For instance, does the issue involve a major doctrine that they maybe struggle to understand? Or perhaps it's an opinion or a minor issue? Or is it a matter of immaturity or spiritual weakness or ignorance? That's why discipleship is so important, knowing what we believe, knowing why we believe as believers. Thirdly, check your own heart. As you go to help somebody, turning them back to the Lord, check your own heart. There is no room for being judgmental. Your motive should be to restore the strained one, not to put him in his place or to prove that you're right and he's wrong. Make sure that you are under the control of the Holy Spirit and displaying the fruit of the Spirit, whether that's gentleness or love, patience. Number four, pray. Do not attempt to restore one who has wandered from the truth without first praying for him. Prayer puts you in the right place before God. It helps you to become dependent upon his grace. Only then are you able to minister to those that have strayed. As one Christian author has put it, you can't properly talk to men about God until you've talked to God about men. And lastly, go directly to that person. Don't go behind their back. Go alone at first. And if he or she listens, you've won them. But if they refuse to listen, then take two or three other believers in Jesus Christ and approach it that way. But even if that doesn't work, eventually it may need to be told to the church. And this is the way that Jesus has outlined how we restore people back to faith from Matthew chapter 18. So as we close, and as we close the book of James and this passage today, let us be sure that we do not stray from the truth. Jesus has called us to be his ambassadors on earth, to show the world that Jesus saves. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." And not only are we to be salt and light, but Jesus also called his followers to make disciples who will love God, love the church, and love others. So let's point people closer to Jesus and bring them to the truth. Let's close by saying the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.